Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Now, as many of you may know, I write a movie review column for the local paper. Now, movie reviewing is a hobby I have. I don't get paid for it, but I love movies. And believe it or not, I've had some pretty strong opinions, especially if you've read my pieces, on what is a good movie and what is a pretty mediocre movie. This past December, I was pretty excited to see the new Star Wars movie, The Rise of Skywalker. I was excited to see this movie as it was going to be the last film in the whole Skywalker saga, so the end of 9 films. And I also was curious how they were going to wrap things up, especially since Carrie Fisher, who played Princess Leia, had unfortunately passed away. Now, the other burning question on my mind and on fans' minds was, who was Rey's parents? Now, just so you know who Rey was one of the main characters of this particular set of trilogies. She was the one who was becoming the Jedi, and closely resembled the character of Luke Skywalker from the original Star Wars trilogy. In all the other movies of this particular trilogy, there was always a tension about whose Rey's parents were. Was she Luke Skywalker's daughter? Was she Ben Kenobi's daughter? Or were her parents just some no-named characters? There was a real mystery around this. People were speculating online from the time that the movie was in production right up until the time that the movie came out. And this mystery was a big deal. So how do you know I'm just not saying that? I'm not just giving you some hyperbole. Well, both times I watched it in the theaters, there were audible gasps when Rey's parents were revealed. Now, I'm not going to spoil the movie for you, who her parents are. I'm always happy to, if you want to know after service, I'll be always happy to talk to you about it. And of course, I'm always happy to share my opinion of what I thought of the movie as well, too. But one of the things that The Rise of Skywalker really reminded me of this week is how we as people respond to mysteries in film, but also mysteries in all parts of our lives. Now, if you're taking notes for today, I'd like to give you the answer to that first question on your notes, which is, we love to solve mysteries. We love to solve mysteries. I think all of us have solved mysteries in our lives. From where I put the car keys, to some of us have solved particular problems like what particular enzyme works to inhibit cancer cells. Mystery is how we interact with the world around us. Mysteries, we believe, are meant to be solved. So I think when we read our gospel text for today, there's a part of the text that comes in conflict with this very human part of us, which is about solving mysteries. And I don't know about you, but it really rubbed me the wrong way when I read it earlier this week. However, thinking and praying about it for the whole week, I think it invites us into a good conversation about our perceptions of God and how we view our world with this new perspective. So let's take a look at the text. So we're going to be in the Gospel of Mark, more specifically Mark 4, verse 2 through 13, which can be found on page 815 of your Bibles. So if you're using your Bible apps, please turn to Mark 4, verses 2 to 13. Again, it's on 815 of those black pew Bibles in front of you. And as you're getting there, let me give you a little context again about this text in general. Again, the Gospel of Mark is a book that looks at the life of Jesus. The author is trying to give us a flavor for who Christ was and also what events of his life really stood out to the author. Now, as we read this particular text today, we are also reminded that some of the first people to read this text were from the early Christian church. So these gospel texts were written to help them in their daily lives and also encourage them, which is still the case for us as the modern audiences like ourselves today. Now, our text for today is the first major teaching in the book of Mark. And Jesus has an interesting way of presenting the information. So let's start in verse 2. Jesus began to teach them with many things in parables. Now, before we go much further, let's briefly talk about what is a parable. And I'd like to give you the second answer to that question on your worship notes at this point. Parables are Jesus' way of using earthly images for divine reality. Parables are Jesus' way of using earthly images for divine reality. So Jesus is going to use something that the folks have experience in their everyday lives and apply it to what the kingdom of God looks like. So that sounds pretty good so far. So here we go. And we continue in verse 2. And his teachings, he said to them, listen, a The sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it had didn't have much soil, and it sprang up quickly, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no roots, it withered away. Now other seed fell among the thorns, and those thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And finally, other seed fell into good soil and brought forth grain, growing up increasing and yielding 30 to 60 to 100 fold. And Jesus said, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." One thing I want you to notice about this parable is that it's bracketed by a similar thought. What do you think that thought is? What do you think? When you look back at that text, what are two things that Jesus talks about at the beginning of the text and at the end of the text? Listen, right? Listen. Jesus wants us to really listen to the story and to figure out what it's saying, because Jesus is telling us more than a story about planting crops. Jesus is trying to tell us some fundamental ideas about the kingdom of God and how God's message is spread. I know what some of you are thinking, because I thought it myself. Why all this cloak and dagger type language? Why doesn't Jesus just speak plainly? And this is where the text gets uncomfortable. So let's read on. So we're in verse 10. "And when Jesus was alone, those who were around him, along with the 12, asked him about the parables. And he said to them, 'To you has been given the secret.'" Now, I'm going to say that the Greek word here that is better translated to you is mystery, and I use that in the text for today. And you'll even see at the bottom of the Bibles, in the Black Pew Bibles, you'll even see a little asterisk that says that this is another translation for secret, that's for mystery. So I'll read that part again. "And he said to them, 'To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything comes in parables, in order that they may indeed look, but not perceive. They may indeed listen, but not understand, so that they may not turn again and be forgiven.'" I had to read this twice the first time I read it. I mean, what the heck, Jesus? You're intentionally speaking in riddles so that people won't get it? I mean, what are you thinking? What kind of God does this sort of thing? But believe it or not, we're not alone in this assessment, because the very next verse, Jesus says to his disciples, and he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? Then how in the world are you going to understand all the other parables?" Again, even the disciples were probably looking at him in disbelief, at trying to figure out what in the world Jesus is getting at with all these parables. So what indeed is going on here? How do we handle this very difficult teaching? And what does it say to our understanding of mystery in our daily lives? One of the things that is a feature of Mark, as well as this very scripture today, again, is that urging to listen. One of the characteristics that the author of Mark is trying to get to understand about Jesus and our faith is that it's not about being passive. Faith in following Jesus requires us to be active and engaged. What I hear in these passages is Jesus saying, if we are just listening to his words and not participating in them, then we're truly missing the meaning. Anyone can hear the teachings of Jesus and say, "Yep, those are some very crazy images that he pulled up there." Or maybe, "I think many people believe that he must have been a good teacher to those folks back then, but you know, if today, it doesn't really add anything to my life." But Jesus is challenging us, though, to not simply listen. Jesus is asking us to participate. That we look at these teachings and ask us, what kind of difference does it make to me and into this world? And here's the mystery that we are presented with today. None of Jesus' parables have a straightforward meaning. How do I know that? Because I own several different books on Jesus' parable, and none of them have very, very similar explanations. Now, there is some consensus, but for the most part, people have widely different ideas about what they mean. So how then do we as humans handle something that we might not always know the exact answer for? And this is what Jesus is getting at. The kingdom of God is bigger than anything that we can imagine and works in ways we will never fully understand this side of heaven. At first glance, this might seem like a bad and troublesome thing. However, it actually leads to a gift beyond imagination. And here's the last answer for your worship notes. The mystery of God helps us to see with new eyes. The mystery of God helps us to see with new eyes. Jesus' teachings and parables are meant to stretch us. They force us to look at people and situations with new perspectives. This changes who we are and how we interact with the world. For myself in the past, before I became a pastor, I've had quite the issues with anger. You can just ask my kids and they'll be happy to tell you how angry I was from time to time. However, as I began to work on this mystery of Jesus' teaching and his parables, I began to ask some tough questions about myself. I learned that my anger was more about what was going on inside of me than all the outside stuff. And this changed how I approached my anger and how my anger does not intercede into my relationships as it once did. So what about you today? What are those areas of your life that you need to have a new vision around? What seems hopeless but could actually be a budding strength? I would invite you this week to think about these things. Take a look at some of the parables that are in chapter 4 that we didn't go over in the sermon today, and ask yourself, what is God trying to say into my life? Now, as I said before, there's probably not going to be a straightforward answer, but as we begin to wrestle with the mystery of what the kingdom of God looks like in our lives, God will reveal a way forward. And this way will change us and change our world. The teachings of Jesus will never leave us alone. And will not allow us to remain the same. So what are you waiting for today? Dive into the mystery and begin to see where Jesus leads. Amen.